to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Lord, we thank you for this great privilege that we have to bring your word, to be here with these lovely people, people that we're worshiping with here and will worship in eternity with. And we just pray, let your spirit be upon me, that anointing to flow freely. And help us to hear and to know what to do with what we hear.
That's right.
And go out of this place today and put what we hear into practice in Jesus.
Jesus.
You're going to put what you hear, you're going to be not just a hearer but a doer of the word. Say amen.
Amen.
The first rule that was given by the apostles to the Gentile church is to avoid what has been sacrificed to idols. In verse 19, James described it as things polluted by idols. An idol is the invention of a depraved mind. Idols have been proliferating in societies for thousands of years. An idol, in its basic form, is a statue or a figure of a person, an animal, or some kind of demonic invention. People burn incense and make sacrifices and bow before these lifeless inventions. Instead of worshiping the living God and living their lives to please Him, they worship demons and they worship their own carnal desires. And we are living in such an hour in the United States of America.
Right.
Hear the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 10, reading beginning there, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord that speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the nations, nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are vanity. Let me tell you something. The garbage, the filth that's being promoted in our society today is just that. It's garbage and it's filth. And the only place it's fit for is for you to flip your blue lid back, pile it in there, and roll it out to the road, and let the garbage man come and dump it in his garbage truck and take it out to the dump and burn it. That's all those things are good for.
That's right.
Got enough garbage to deal with as it is. Notice that in America, the garbage cans keep getting bigger and bigger. I think we need to make bigger altars in the church so we can have bigger garbage cans in the church too. Because there's so much junk and garbage and filth out there. Amen. That the old altars and the old ways of doing things, I don't even know if they're adequate enough anymore to handle all the sin and the filth that's flooding through the streets of our society and making its way to the pews of the churches across our country.
Amen.
I tell you, what we need is a good old somebody just needs to go through our houses and go through our hearts and go through our minds and just tear everything out until there's nothing left but the walls, the studs, and some electric. We need some new wiring to go in. We need to take the old plumbing out and re-plumb everything. And we need a complete overhaul and remodel of our hearts and our souls before God in this hour. It's a dangerous hour that we live in. The Bible says, Jesus said in the book of Matthew, that when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith upon the earth. Amen. The devil's doing everything he can. Evildoers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The world is full of idolatry and paganism, and the church is struggling with it. But I pray today that God would give us the victory.
Amen.
Over those things. It calls us to rise up with boldness and courage at frankness and bluntness and begin to praise Jesus the way he ought to be praised.
Yes.
They said even when Jesus was walking down the hillside towards and walking up the hill and down the hills towards the city of Jerusalem, and the children were shouting his praises, and the Pharisees said, shut these kids up and shut these people up. They don't have no business praising you. And Jesus said, if these do not praise me, the rocks will cry out. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're living in a day and a time where the rocks are about to cry out because the church is too wimpy and too distracted and too full of idolatry in their hearts to be bothered to give praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody give him a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. We can barely make it through a 20-minute worship service anymore. We can barely make it through 10 or 15 minutes or maybe 12 and a half minutes of prayer anymore. There's nations that are desperate for what you have. There's peoples across the world. I've been watching videos of a revival taking place, a crusade in Bangladesh, and they praise God from morning to noon tonight. And thousands are being filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thousands are being healed. Hundreds are being delivered from demonic possessions. And the church is worried about how hot it is. The church is worried about letting out a little bead of sweat on their foreheads. Oh, church, we need to get back to worshiping and praising God like we did when we first came to know His love.
Jeremiah
goes on in Jeremiah chapter 10. He says, the customs of the people are vanity. A tree from the forest is cut down and worked with an axe by the hands of a craftsman. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so that it cannot move. Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field. My dad would call them big dogs. There's your God. Worship Him. Bow before Him. Call and pray to Him. Cry out to Him for help. Maybe He'll save you, you idiots. Their idols, he says, are like scarecrows in a cucumber field, and they cannot speak. They have to be carried, for they cannot walk. Don't be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, and neither is it in them to do good. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great. Hallelujah. And your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your due. For among all the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. They are both stupid and foolish. The instruction of idols is but wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Euphrates. They are the work of the craftsman in the hands of the goldsmith. Their clothing is violet and purple, and they are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At His wrath, the earth quakes. And the nations cannot endure His indignation. And thus shall you say to them, the gods who did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding stretched out the heavens. When He utters His voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and He makes the mist rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his images are false. There is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of delusion. At the time of their punishment, they shall perish. Judgment's coming on the world. The inanity of Worshipping idols, let alone the perversity of it, is the greatest downfall of the human race. Anyone who would bow down to a dead stump and pray to it and ask it for help is beyond help. They have lost all sense of reason. Their hearts and minds have degenerated into confusion and insanity. Anyone who would pray to a scarecrow nailed to a stick and stuffed with straw is delusional. People who have given themselves over to idol worship and its attendant practices drive a wedge between themselves and God. And if there's no other reason to avoid idolatry, then that's a good reason.
Right.
You don't want to drive a wedge between yourself and the one who made you.
Right.
In Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 and 5, it says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me." If you're an idol worshiper, it means that you hate God. Idolatry stirs up divine conflict, and it brings the hammer of God's judgment down on the world and its occupants. Where did COVID come from? Where did AIDS come from? Where did monkeypox come from? Where did typhoons and tornadoes and hurricanes come from? Where do earthquakes and all kinds of other things come from? You think God is letting the people in this world slide by doing, amen, the things, the filthy things that they do? You better wake up and pay attention to what's going on in the world. There ain't nobody that has control over a typhoon. There ain't nobody that has control over a tsunami. There's no one that has control over an earthquake. It's by the hand of God and the judgment that He brings down upon the sinners of the world. Because idolatry drives a wedge and brings God's punishment on us. If there's another good reason to avoid idolatry, is that not only does it drive a wedge, but it causes God to bring His judgments upon us. And that's one thing that I don't want, is the judgment of God falling upon me. Idol worship. It says in Colossians 3, 5 and 6, "Put to death therefore what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." I don't have a statue in my house, don't you? I don't bow down to idols, don't you? I don't worship them, don't you? And Paul told the church in Colossae, "On account of these, the wrath of God is coming." Yes. Let me tell you something. When Jesus comes back to the earth, I want to be found. Somebody said He's going to come back on a Sunday. Who was I talking to the other day about that? I don't know. We were talking about people, you know, hitting and missing in church and things like that. And that somebody said, Jesus is going to come back on a Sunday. You sitting up in the house, pouting, grumbling. You sitting up in the house, watching TV, surfing on Facebook, drinking yourself drunk, doing whatever it is that you do. I ain't going to church. I ain't got time for that. You better watch out, friend. You may miss. Amen. You know what? A storm has two sides. Every storm has two sides to it. On one side, there is a downdraft of super cold air. So cold that it can cause ice crystals the size of softballs, amen, to form. And on the other side of the storm is a fire and a heat so hot, hallelujah, that lightning flashes out and will split and cleave a tree in two that's been sitting there for 100 years. It is 18 foot in diameter, and one night
lightning strike can come. Let me tell you something. When Jesus comes back, hallelujah, we pray about it. We worship about it. We're excited about it because we're in the church. Amen. You better be in church when Jesus comes back. You better be in a relationship with Him when He comes back. You better not be caught worshiping your idol when Jesus comes back, because He's going to catch His bride up into the air, and we're going to be changed instantaneously. But at that same moment, the storm of His coming, amen, is going to be glory on one side, but on the other side of that storm is going to be wrath, and it's going to be turned. Just like when He came to Job, hallelujah, the Bible says God spoke to him out of the whirlwind. Jesus is coming back, the Bible said, in the clouds. What kind of clouds? Let me tell you something, baby. That thunderstorm, that thunderhead that you look and took pictures of the other day, that ain't nothing to what the clouds are going to be like when Jesus comes back. And we're going to be swirling Him in the clouds with Him. Amen. In the tornado of His glory, while His wrath comes down on the earth and burns up the idolaters. Amen. And keeping a cute little beat. Hallelujah. And shaking our little hands and doing our little jigs. We are worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are worshiping the Creator of everything. And He can love on you, and He can put His glory on your life. He can put His blessings on you, and He can cause amazing things to happen that will blow your mind and blow the mind of people around you. Because you worship Him from a pure and true heart. Or He can put His fist like this, and He can bang your head. Amen. Like that game, that whack-a-mole game. He can pound you into the ground with a kiss. I'm telling you, this is the Word of God, folks. They didn't make it. They weren't. They were trying to make it as simple as possible for the Gentile believers to help them understand that this is not a joke. This is serious business. The God that we serve is a consuming fire. I saw a Facebook meme the other day, and I just can't stand illogical, unbiblical things. Brother Stacy, I get torn up over it. And they had a picture of hell. And they had a picture on there of the fires of hell. And the caption was, "Hell is the absence of God." And that's what makes it hell.
And so I couldn't help myself, Brother Stacy. I just typed in there, "Our God is a consuming fire."
Yes.
Hell isn't the absence of God. It's the absence of God's grace. Hell isn't the absence of God. It's the absence of His love. Hell isn't the absence of God. It's the absence of His mercy. Hallelujah. Of His truth and long-sufferingness. It's the absence of all that is good about our God. And hell is nothing but God's wrath. Nothing but His judgment. Nothing but His pain and His curses coming down on you for eternity. Idol worship turns God's created order upside down. The pollution of idols leads humanity into the depths of depravity. It causes us to do things that are unnatural. It causes us to do things, and it leads us to violence and harm. And God doesn't just stand by and watch it happen. Amen. He's poured out His wrath in the past. He still does it today. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not." When I read the Old Testament and some of the stuff that happened there, hallelujah, it puts a little fear of God inside of me. I got a phobia, baby, and it's not snakes. I got a phobia, and it's not bears or spiders or crickets or camel crickets. I got a phobia, and it's not heights or loud noises. I got a phobia, and it's the wrath of God. I don't want to catch myself even on the wrong side of His glory. I don't want to catch myself on the wrong side of the storm. Amen. In the whirlwind of His power, I want to be where Job was. Hallelujah. And God spoke to him from the whirlwind. Because Job understood what the sanctity of worship was. We don't
We worship God when things are good, and we pray when things are bad. Job prayed when things were good,
yes,
and he worshiped when things were bad. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Because idolatry turns things upside down. When the church today worships its worship, and it worships its preachers, and it worships the feelings and all of those things, and never gets around to worshiping God.
Amen.
I'm thankful today. God doesn't just punish what's wrong, but he established his church in the Old Testament, and then he established the Gentile church in the New Testament so that we could shine the light of what true worship is into this world that is darkened by paganism. The church was called out of darkness and sin into the worship of the one true and living God. When he heard your prayer of repentance and forgave you of your sins, and the blood, a drop of the blood of Jesus, fell on the pages of the book of life, amen, the evil deeds of your life were blotted out by his blood, and your name was scrawled into the book of heaven as a new member in the family tree of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything for you changed from that moment when you went down in the waters and you were baptized in that only name above every name. Things changed. Amen. You know, in all these religions of the world, when you get involved in them, they give you a different name. Hallelujah. Your name changed when you went down in that water. You're not just Darnell Wells anymore, but you're Darnell Jesus Wells. You're not just Andrew Alexander anymore, but you're Andrew Jesus Alexander. Everything changed for you. The wrath of God and the storm of God rotated around you when you got on your face and cried tears of repentance. The storm of God rotated around, and where God was punishing you for your sins, now he's pouring out his grace and love and blessings on you. It's not to be taken lightly. And Jesus, all of that he did, and all that he came to do, and all that he came and suffered, and all that he went through, and dying on the tree, and laying in the tomb for 3 days, going down into hell, and defeating the devil, and taking the chains and the keys to the chains of death and hell, and coming out of that grave in 3 days, hungry fish. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. And then 40 days later, he was ascended up into heaven and glorified. Amen. And the devil, the Bible tells us in Revelation, got kicked out when the woman's child went up into heaven. And then he said, I'm going away, because when I go away, the promise of the Father is going to fall on you. I'm now with you, but there I will be in you. And when Jesus filled you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that's all he went through to do for us, and the glorious power of God flows inside of us, and our tears flow, our worship explodes, we speak and scream like a newborn child, amen, language is unknown to us, as the power of God takes control of the rudder of the ship, amen, everything changed for you when that happened to you. And the church, we are the church. You are the church. It's called to uphold the sanctity of worship. We are to show the world a pure, unpolluted devotion to God. It's called the sanctity of worship. Avoid anything that is polluted by idols. Anything that is sacrificed to idols. But you hold on to God. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul and with all your mind. And so the Gentile church must grow away from paganism and worship of demons and move towards the worship of the one true God. I don't want to go down to that Jesus name Pentecostal church because they won't let you do this and they won't let you do that and they make you do this and they make you do that and they roll in the aisles and they speak in their tongues and they're weird. They talk weird. They dress weird. They stare at me and all these other things. I don't want to have to go. I'm going to go over here to this church. Hallelujah. Because they'll let me do like I've always done. Friend, you ain't going to church if you're doing what you've always done. Right? The Jesus name Pentecostal church is not a hard church. It's not asking you to do things that are hard. It's not unreasonable. It's not beyond the pale or exception. Amen. We're just asking you to do the most basic things that you can do. Amen. To serve God and to show the world that you are a child of heaven. Navigate through a world full of materialism and demon worship to maintain a radical purity in a world that is mired in the filth of paganism. And I see pastors making videos on the internet and they're engraving their bodies with tattoos and inks. It's like, what is wrong with you? You are not your own anymore. You have been bought with a price. You don't need a cross on your bicep. Amen. To show the world who you are. But you need a glow on your face. Amen. You need gracious words in your mouth. You need a pure heart before God. Stop trying to be like the world. Don't touch anything that has been polluted by idols. The only mark you need is the one that an angel comes and flies down from heaven and puts in your forehead and writes the name of Jesus on your forehead. That's the only mark you need in your body. You can't see it with the naked eye. Hallelujah. You've got to see it with the eyes of the Spirit. But even the demon possessed, they know there's something different about you. You may not be able to see the physical mark, but they can tell there's something different about you. You're a worshiper of that God. You're a worshiper of that Creator. You're a worshiper of the one true living God. They've got to leave their familiar haunts and no longer participate in common cultural celebrations. They must no longer decorate their homes with idol paraphernalia or adorn themselves with pagan symbols. Even where they buy their goods must be carefully scrutinized for the infiltration of idol worship. You know what? Christians say boycott Starbucks because they're promoting the filth of paganism. You know what I say? Go ahead and boycott Starbucks. If you got to grow coffee like Sister Lois, grow it in your own backyard. If you got to, amen, to avoid, amen, if you got to stop drinking coffee, you do what you got to do. Keep yourself unpolluted from the idols of this world. They were saved now by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus shed on Calvary. Jesus is not just another God or religion. Jesus is not just another God or religion. Jesus is not just another God or religion.
Hallelujah.
He's not just another man. He wasn't another guru or sensei. But He's the God of all creation. Yeah. Living inside of Him. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. He is the Son of the living God. He's not some statue. He's not some carved stick or chiseled stone. He is the mediator of a better covenant of blood between God and humanity. Jesus is alive in heaven and in our hearts. And He's returning to the earth again. Yes. And now that we're
are saved by His blood and adopted into the family of God as sons and daughters. Amen. We no longer owe allegiance or devotion to anyone or anything else. Did you die for my sins? Did you love me while I was still a sinner? No, then I'm not bowing to you. I will not worship your scarecrow in a cucumber field. I'm not going to worship your stick or your stone. I don't care if you have emblazoned it with gold and silver. I could care less. I serve a God who's building a city for me, whose the gates are made of pearls, and every possible stone and treasure and jewel that you can think of is decorated in the walls of it. And the gold is so pure that it's see-through, and it paves the streets with it. Hallelujah, somebody. And that is called the sanctity of worship. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And there's no place for the worship of idols or angels or demons or creatures or created inventions. And there's no place for worship of ourselves.
Right.
Amen.
If you spend more time in front of a mirror than you do in prayer, oh my.
Say it. Say it.
You spend more time getting a perfect portrait or selfie than you do in God's Word, oh my.
Say it.
If you spend more time with eyes glazed over in front of a screen than you do enjoying God's creation and praising Him for the magnificent world He surrounded you with, oh my!
Say it.
What we put in our bodies matters. Polluted foods, junk TV programs, carnal books, and ungodly hobbies that are destroying our soul. You say, Brother Rival, that's your own personal opinion. You just hang on for a few months, and we'll get down to it in the book of Acts. Hallelujah, where they took their books and piled them up, and they burned them before God because they were obeying the commandment to avoid anything polluted by idols. When you got Jesus living in you, you don't need magic. When you got Jesus living in you, you don't need demons and devils and substances and garbage or idols to turn to. I don't know how many times people, oh man, you gotta watch that devil. There's a demon over there, deep dog, blah, 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 blah. What is wrong with you? Don't you worship the same God I do? A preacher can get more reaction after over preaching about the devil in the pulpit in a Christian church than he can preaching about Jesus. Who are you worshiping? What are we feeding our stomachs? What are we feeding our minds? Is your meat to do the will of Him who saved you? Who do you hang around with? Do you eat a steady diet of the scorn of evildoers? It's time to shake some things loose from your life. It's time to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship. We cannot serve in the temple of idols all week and then pop in for 2 hours on Sunday and worship God. It's not the sanctity of worship, that's the inanity of worship. What are you talking about? You're going to party it up on Friday and Saturday night and then pop into church on Sunday like everything is hunky-dory? Do you think God is going to let it slide? In the church at Corinth, eventually they brought the party to church. Read about it. They were getting drunk.
What?
We went to a wedding in Evansville. They had tents and chairs set up. I thought, man, if I had that many people in my church, I'd be driving a Rolls Royce. And they were set up for a big weekend celebration for the men of their church. Beer and steaks. And the Corinthians were getting drunk and stuffed at the communion supper. You think God let that slide by? I want to pray as your pastor, God bless them. Pour out God's grace on your people. Let them feel your favor. Bless their businesses, desires of your heart, creation. Let it go online. Let it go national. Let it go international. I want to be praying and spending my time praying for the glory of God down on you. I don't want to be praying a curse. But I have, and I will. If you make a joke out of God and out of church and out of the blood of Jesus Christ, and I don't actually have to, but the Holy Ghost makes me. Alright, well, I told you I wasn't going to be handed to me. And the guy, you know what Paul told the Corinthian church? He said, some of you have been stricken with diseases, and others of you have died because you have disrespected. You have broken sanctity of worship. You're acting like you're in the VFW. You're acting like you're at the Eagles. You're acting like that you're in some football game. You're acting like that you're standing with your friends and having a barbecue. You forget that this is the King of Kings, and you have perverted and polluted the sanctity of worship. Well, he only said that the Gentile church had to do four things. Yeah, but they were big. They were big. They were the big four. First being the sanctity of worship. Did you walk in this earth in the fear of God? What does the Lord require of you, old man? That you walk humbly with your God, and that you love justice and mercy. You walk in this earth because you know there's a God that sees behind the closed doors. You walk in this earth because you know there's a God that knows every thought you think, and He knows every motive in your heart. You walk before God because you know that He could incinerate you at any moment. And you know He's not that, doesn't want to do that. And you know that's not His nature, and that's not His main goal in life. But He loves on you. But that's it. You want Him to love you. You want to be in love with Him. Amen. But somewhere you've got to draw a line. And the line is drawn in the sand. But Brother Rob, we can't avoid everything. True. But that's no excuse for taking a devil-may-care attitude toward the modern idols of our society. That doesn't excuse our lackadaisical attitude towards things that have clearly been polluted in our society, and a child can see that something's wrong with it. We are encouraged to take this seriously. We are encouraged to follow the leading of the Spirit. And listen, I'm not preaching down at where you came from. I'm not preaching down at what you've been through. Jesus died to bring you out of that. Amen. You got a tattoo? You let your tattoo show. You got a tattoo of mama? You let that tattoo of mama show. You got a tattoo of the cross? You let that tattoo of the cross show. But know this, amen, you're not the person you were when you got that tattoo. You are now bought with a price. And now you glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. Hallelujah. We got to take this seriously. We need to learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, to arm ourselves with knowledge, to walk worthy of the vocation we are called to. Again, Paul told the church in Colossians chapter 3, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in. But you didn't realize how important this was? What do you mean? I didn't know. Why not? Don't you pray? Don't you read your Bible? Don't you listen to God's voice? Don't you realize your salvation and the salvation of your family hangs in the balance? Is heaven really that important to you? Are you really afraid of hell's flames? There is no middle ground in serving God. We either worship the one true God or we degenerate into paganism. There's no half in or half out. It's time to make up your mind and get
because the Father is looking for worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for people who don't just know what's right, but who actually live it. We need to decide today who our Master is going to be. We cannot serve God in money. Amen. Don't work, does it, brother?
No.
Money's beautiful. I've heard Brother Philip talk down to feed my sheep, and he talks about that. Amen. But you can't pursue this, that, or the other and pursue God at the same time.
Right.
Because when you pick your God, He will consume your life.
Right.
It's time to make up our minds and get serious. When we were saved, we were separated from those things. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers." A lot of people think that deals with marriage. And it's probably a good idea to marry somebody else that believes in Jesus too. Paul teaches extensively on what to do if that's not the case. But this is talking about idolaters. And he says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you. And then and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. But how are we supposed to save them if we don't have anything to do with them? I wish we would listen to our logic sometimes. How are you supposed to save them if you're no different than them? What are you saving them from? The Father isn't the only one looking for worshipers. The devil's looking for worshipers too. He got Jesus, didn't he, up on the mountain, and he said, "If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you the nations of the world." You're going to worship someone. You're going to worship something. Let it be the King of Kings. Idolaters are looking for worshipers, but the lost of the world are looking for a real God.
Right. That's right.
They don't want a scarecrow in a cucumber. Right? They've got questions. They've seen the Jimmy Swaggerts on TV. They've got questions. They see the mansions and the Rolls Royces. They see the jets. They see all of the hypocrisies and all of the pharisaical attitudes. They've been subjected to quote-unquote well-meaning saints who are more inflated with their egos and sense of purpose than they were with the love of God. They've been through some stuff. They've been through some sins. They've been in some traumas. They've been through some fake Christians and fake churches. They are looking for a real God. They're not satisfied with the garbage of the world. It's like eating Chinese
Chinese food off the buffet. 2 hours later, you're hungry because they pour in 4 pounds of sugar on every plate. Hallelujah. The people of the world are looking for something that when they eat it, it will stick to their guts. It'll give them energy for 6 or 8 hours. They're looking for something with power. They're looking for something that's real. They need a church. They need a brother. They need a sister that knows who God is and worships Him with a hand.
Oh, hallelujah.
Somebody shout hallelujah right now. Why don't you stand on your feet and lift your hands and voice, and let's rock this building with a shout of praise to our God today. Jesus, brother Rob. Really? Which one? You believe in the long-haired hippie Jesus that hangs on the wall in a million homes? If the kings and prophets, amen, from Israel in the olden days, or even the apostles from 2,000 years ago, would have tore our homes. I'm not talking about Jesus walking in your house. I'm talking about the apostle Paul walking in your house. He'd be tearing stuff off the walls, knocking idols over. He'd be tearing stuff down. He'd be walking in churches, tearing crosses down. There's no telling what they'd find in your house. And they'd be out, amen, in the front yard with your ball-peen hammer, breaking your cell phones, breaking your TVs and your computers and all the other junky garbage that you worship at. They'd be calling you into a prayer meeting. They'd be calling you into praying in the spirit with groanings that cannot be uttered. They'd be calling you into worship. Amen. Where the building stinks. Amen. They'll be calling you into faith. Amen. Where the dead come to life.
Hallelujah.
It's time. Amen. To get serious about worshiping God. You got a picture of the Last Supper on your wall, but you just cussed your wife out and took the name of the Lord in vain. It's time to cleanse our temples from the pollution of the world. It's time to recommit ourselves to the sanctity of worship. It's time to fall in love with God all over again. When we bring our pure worship before Him, blessings that are now dammed up and held back and prevented will release with a crack an explosive power. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Glory that illusion will no longer hide in the shadows, but it will fall on you as you walk down the street, as you walk to the kitchen in your house, as you try to work in the morning. The glory that had eluded you because there was an idol in your heart, because you were worshiping something else. The glory will fall on you. Tears flowing out of your eyes. Let's find a place to pray right now. And let's let God speak to us. The first thing we need is an attitude of justice. Lord, let my attitude towards you not be one of whining and complaining and justifying, rationalizing, excusing. But let my attitude be the attitude where the only thing I want is you. Whether I'm abounding, whether I'm abased, the obstacles and the earth with their face. Cut down the chainsaw of repentance. Be set on fire. The fire of worship. Consume us. With worship. And praise. Desire for you. Consume us. With a desire for the best gifts. Consume us with the desire to know you and the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your sufferings. Like a spoiled child that refuses to be fed with the best foods that the world has to offer, let us push our plates back and say, God, feed me with the manna from heaven. The king's delicacies. I don't want to defile myself, because it's just one step between where we are into the worship of the Antichrist and the worship of his image. Instead of having the name Jesus slapped in our foreheads, it'll be the name of Lucifer slapped there instead.
Closing song of worship.
Says God, well,